Well, welcome to everyone in Facebook land and YouTube land and the far reaches of the galaxy. Welcome to One in Messiah. And tonight's going to be another somber night, kind of like last week, because we're living in somber times. The clock is ticking on our time. And we talked about this last week. If you get a chance to go to the YouTube channel and watch the teaching I did yesterday on the Messianic Lamb Network, this is going to go hand in hand with that. Yesterday's was from Ezekiel. Today's is going to be from Jeremiah. Ezekiel and Jeremiah were contemporaries. The kingdom of Judah, including the temple, including Jerusalem, including the priests, had gone off the rail. I'm not talking about 21st century America. I'm talking about little before 586 through 586 and into the Babylonian exile. People had turned away from truth. People had turned away from scripture. People had turned away from the word that was breathed out. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul tells us all of the scripture is God-breathed. It's all theopneustos. God breathes out the word. The Holy Spirit breathes out the word. And it's not a coincidence that the word ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek means spirit, wind, and breath. And the word that was breathed out and written down by all the authors of the scripture was being ignored. I am talking about 21st century America because the church is racing headlong to be more and more like the world and not the word. The world, not the word, so to speak. And Paul also tells Timothy, you study to show yourself approved. You study to make you ready for every good work that God has put for you to do by studying the word. You don't do it in a vacuum. You don't do it by lighting the candles or saying a certain prayer in a certain way. You do it by studying the word. And Paul, very clear on that. The people in the land of Judah, and that's why this was called She Did Not Listen, did not want to listen to that. Because after all, they were with it. They were with the times. You know, we're with the times. We don't want any of that God business. We don't want any of that ancient stuff. We're with it now. We're progressive. Because after all, like Satan told Eve in the garden, did God really say that? Yes. He really said that. Yes, but is that what he really meant? Well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you why he said that. He doesn't want you to be independent. He doesn't want you to make your own destiny. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He wants to control your life. Did you ever think about that, Eve? Huh? Yeah. Give me that apple. Here's Silent Adam. Mr. Abdicate all my responsibility. You take a bite too. Oh yeah, give me that apple. No, actually, he doesn't even say that. He doesn't say a word. So when people don't know the word, and nobody knows the word now. We used to have pastors that came here on Friday night and said, we don't know any of this. We never learned any of this in Bible school. We didn't know anybody. We didn't study the Old Testament in Bible school. What did you study? So, yesterday's teaching about Ezekiel and today's about Jeremiah have to do with the fact that the people weren't listening. The priests were worshiping idols in the temple. In the temple. Everything was defiled. Everything was profaned. And I am talking about 21st century America because we are worshiping idols. And we're going to see as we go through this, we may not be putting up statues of Zeus. We may not be putting up statues of Baal. Actually, there were statues of Baal up in Central Park and on the Mall in Washington, and the god Moloch, because, of course, he's the patron of abortion, because you throw your children into the fire in the god Moloch. So as Jonathan Cahn says, those ancient gods have returned. So while there's hearings going on Capitol Hill, there's people praying to Moloch. There's people praying to Baal on the National Mall and in Central Park. In the Colosseum in Rome, they set up a huge statue of, I can't remember now which god it was, in the Colosseum, where hundreds and thousands of believers were martyred in the first two, three centuries of the church. We're going to go to Jeremiah 3. You know, I always tell you that when God chastens Israel, when he disciplines her, when he's upset at her, when he judges her, he calls her a harlot. He calls her a prostitute. He calls her unfaithful. Why is that? We're going to see a verse from Isaiah 54 in a minute. That later, and I've become your husband. You're married to me, but you want other lovers. You're supposed to be with me, but hey, you'll go along with any lover who happens to come by. Oh, they have an interesting god over there. Maybe we should go find out about that. Remember in 1 Kings 18 and 19, where Elijah has this awesome confrontation with the prophet of Baal, and the fire comes down and so forth. And he gets frustrated because Queen Jezebel wants to kill him, and he runs away because, you know, being like us, a great man of faith, he ran away. And he went and hid, and he said, oh, just kill me, Lord. I'm the only one. The only one who's following you. Just kill me. And God says, no, you're not the only one, Elijah. Pull yourself together. There are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Well, there were approximately 3 million Israelites at the time. 7,000 had not bowed the knee to a false god. It's a pretty small percentage. What do we have now on Sunday mornings? If you go to a normal church, you got a great band, and I love worship music. You got fog machines, you got flashing lights. You got the whole congregation doesn't know word one about Torah or the prophets or the writings, or I hope they know something about the Gospels and the letters, but I don't know. And then you have a pastor who doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Because after all, we've taken Yeshua out of the gospel, and the gospel has now become, don't hurt anybody's feelings. And let's have everybody be happy, and let's have everybody leave here feeling good. We don't want to talk about sin and repentance. We don't want to talk about crosses and blood. We want to just have some fun here. And then afterwards, we're going to go out to brunch. So it's going to be a fun day. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see, where have you not lain with men? He's talking to Israel. By the road, you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. What gods haven't you gone after? You're throwing your children in the fire. The world's throwing its children into the fire. 65 million just in this country. We don't know how many worldwide. Gods of lust and greed and whatever. We don't call them gods, but they're there. You have a harlot's forehead, you refuse ashamed. The church refuses to be ashamed. We're all nice. The God I believe in doesn't think like that anymore. The God I believe in would never send anybody to hell. The God I believe in isn't mean like that Old Testament God. He's really nice now. Because he's coming around to our way of thinking. Because now we know more than the Holy Spirit who wrote these words. We know more than the Ruach because, hey, we've progressed. And he's still stuck back there. We have many false gods all over the place. They had false gods all over the place. One would have been too many. Now, how many times in Torah, how many times in the prophets does God say, I'm a jealous God, I don't share my glory with anyone? He doesn't share his glory with anyone. There's none beside me. We should start singing the Mikamocha and stuff, but we haven't ever done that here. But he doesn't share his glory. But they had many gods, and they had a harlot's forehead. They didn't blush. Okay, a harlot is a prostitute, right? What can you tell a prostitute that would make her blush? I mean, they've seen everything, done everything, heard everything. It'd be pretty hard to make a prostitute blush. You have a harlot's forehead. You don't even know how to blush anymore. You don't have any shame anymore. How many times on Sunday morning do you hear about sin and repentance? Oh, Ten Commandments? That's the law. We're not under the law anymore. Oh, really? Yep, you know, got saved when I was 15, and now I'm 75, and hey, everything's good. Got my ticket, said the prayer. Guy gave me a Bible. I'm all set. No repentance, no modesty. No fear of the Lord. Jeremiah's talking about it, but we can talk about it too. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. The church is called the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Messiah. We're the body of Messiah. In Ephesians 5, it says he's going to present, the church is going to be presented as a spotless bride. You know anybody in any church who's spotless? No. But in his righteousness, we're going to be presented as a spotless bride. The son has a bride. He presents the bride to his father. The Holy Spirit moves over the whole scene, moves over everything, empowers the bride, shows the bride what's going on, shows the bride the truth. If you've never studied the Song of Songs, please do. And the Lord of hosts is his name. Adonai Elohim Tzavaot. The Lord of hosts. This isn't hosts like whatever. This is all the hosts of heaven. Myriads and myriads of angels. At the time this is written, there's angels. There's no people in heaven. Now there's myriads of angels, and there's myriads of saints, and there's myriads of saints on earth. He's the Lord of it all. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says he holds the whole universe together. Everything subsists in him. He's talking about Yeshua, Messiah. The whole universe subsists in him. He doesn't say, oh, wait a minute. What's that hydrogen molecule doing way over there? Ah, this is getting out of my control now. Come back. Everything subsists in him. He's the Holy One of Israel. Messiah is called the Holy One of Israel throughout the Tanakh. He's God of the whole earth. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. The earth is full of his glory, the synagogue prayer says. Lo kol haaretz kavodo. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Angels go back and forth, and all they sing is holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And for new people, you know, that are here, not counting you, it's always good to learn a little bit of Hebrew, so when we get to heaven, we won't have culture shock. Oh, come on, that was funny. Where's Jordan? All the years we spent in Mexico, everybody said, oh, you know, in heaven, everybody speaks Spanish. I grew up with all Italians off the boat, and I said, well, of course they speak Italian in heaven. They're going to be in for a culture shock. So he's the God of the whole earth. So they could have repented, but they didn't. We could be repenting, not us here, but the people in our culture and our world could be repenting, but they're not. We had this great period of mercy and grace during COVID where everything was shut down. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't go out to eat. You couldn't even go to church. You had plenty of time to think, what's going on? Who am I? Why is this happening? Maybe I should pray. Maybe I should read the Bible. Maybe I should think about my life. No, let's get back to normal. What's normal? This. This is normal. We can take the little boy and go start turning him into a little girl. After all, that's normal now. You notice in Revelation how each judgment comes and it says people did not repent. And so the next thing comes, people did not repent. And then the next thing comes. Then after a while, there's no talking about people didn't repent. The judgments just keep coming. We're probably getting close to that. But anyway, they didn't repent. They could have returned to the word. They could have returned to what they were doing before, but they didn't. They didn't want to. The priests were worshiping idols in the temple. God says to Ezekiel, look what's going on in there. Look, my temple is defiled. The church says, oh, we can't talk about political issues. I'm sorry, pastor, father, rabbi, whatever your title is. When there's children being mutilated, when there's babies being murdered, when marriage has been defiled beyond any recognition, those aren't political issues. Those are moral issues. And you need to take a stand and have some guts, because we got to get some more people saved because the time is ticking. The Lord also said to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain, under every green tree, and there played the harlot. Everywhere, under every tree, on every hill, she's with other lovers. Harlot, he's married to her. The church is the bride of Christ, but we're playing with the world. We want lovers from the world. We want politicians to like us. We have a president who proclaims to be a Roman Catholic. I haven't heard one single person in the church say anything about it. Because they like to be friends with the world. They don't want to cause any trouble. They want everything to be quiet and nice. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. The northern kingdom was destroyed from idolatry, because of idolatry. All the great prophets that went there, Elijah, Amos. The northern kingdom was destroyed. The southern kingdom, her sister, her treacherous sister, saw what happened and did the same thing. Then I saw that for all the causes which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. I divorced the northern kingdom. The Assyrians destroyed it. They came in, sacked the place, took some of the people in exile, settled there. They became the ancestors of the Samaritans. So her southern sister Judah played the harlot too. So it came to pass through casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. What's he talking about? Stones and trees. Images. Images that mean nothing. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have feet, but they can't walk. Remember, we read that during the Seder and the Hallel Psalms. They commit adultery with everything that goes by. Can't tell you in Mexico how many Aztec idols we saw with people. Aztec idols in their car, in their houses, in their cars, in the public squares, putting little food offerings and candles in front of them, and you know, tequila and rum in front of statue of some. And I would commonly go by and say, "Who is that? Oh, that's the god so-and-so, Aztec god. Why do you have him here? Oh, well, he has power." Yeah, Jesus, power too. But he's got power too. When you're a priest and you're worshiping idols in the temple, that's the mentality that you have. Yes, we have the true God upstairs, but down here, you know, these other gods, we need to cover our bases. Because they may have power too. We don't want these other gods mad at us. So they commit adultery with stones and trees. So once you start with idolatry, it's downhill. Adultery with more and more lovers. You know, you can think if a man who's always been faithful to his wife gets into some adulterous relationship and then that breaks off, it's probably much easier to start another one than it was before. Then after that one, it's probably much easier to start another one because you kind of get used to it. And it was happening then, and it's happening in the church. I said, return to me, but she didn't. He calls Israel a backslider. He calls Judah treacherous. Treacherous. You know, in the book of James, it says, be careful if you call yourself a teacher. Remember? Because you're going to be judged at a higher standard. Why is that? Because you influence people. If I backslide and I fall away, that's between me and God, right? But if I'm a pastor of a big church and I fall away and I teach lies and untruths, then I may take thousands of people astray. Oh, yeah, we never thought of that. Oh, yeah. That makes more sense than this stuff in this book. So Judah didn't fear. You know, there was Jerusalem. The holy city, the city of the king. They had the Levitical priest. They had the temple. They had the scrolls. What were they doing with all this other stuff? We have the scripture. We have the revelation of God over 4,000 years. We have Messiah who comes and dies for us so that we can be saved. Oh, yeah, but we'd rather have that stuff. Oh, you have no idea. My money's important. You know, I got power. I can't be doing that and acting like a weakling. I'm a powerful guy. I want to move up in the world. I want to teach my kids that if anybody gets in their way, you just knock them down. Yeah, you know, I go to church and yeah, I know about all this. Jeremiah 4:14, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims affliction from Mount Ephraim. There's going to be judgment. The land of Dan is at the top of the country. That's where the word Jordan comes from. Jordan means from Dan. The Jordan River starts in the north of the country and goes through the land of Ephraim. And a voice goes through the whole nation. Be careful. There's going to be judgment. What happens with your friends, your family members, your church friends, your coworkers? There's going to be judgment someday. Someday, this is all going to be dealt with. Yeah, that's a good one. People have been saying that since the beginning. Oh, you've been saying that for 10 years and nothing's happened. Remember 2 Peter? And the end time scoffers will come saying, oh, things have always been like this. From the time of the fathers, things have been like this. Nothing's different now. Chapter 5. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. He's not going to judge us. God is love. He doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. He's love. Apparently, they've never read Revelation. Because when Yeshua comes with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth and an iron rod in his hand. Oof. God says they've dealt treacherously with me. You've dealt with him when you reject, when you go after false gods, when you go after false teachings. And I'm not talking about gods like those Aztec gods I mentioned. We have idols all over the place that have nothing to do with little statues. But they're our job, our health, our money, our retirement account, our car, whatever it is. Yeshua says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. What? What? I want to have $2 million in the bank by the time I'm 60, and then I'm going to retire, and I'm going to buy a house in the wherever, and I'm going to play golf, and I'm not going to deny myself. I want to have some fun. Idols. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Are you ashamed that you're killing babies? Are you ashamed that you're mutilating children? Are you ashamed that you're promoting sin all over the world? No! Exclamation point. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Like the prostitute, they don't know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Jeremiah, when he was preaching, the leaders, the religious leaders, said, tell us something good. We want to hear something good. So plenty of false prophets came and told them good things. So throw Jeremiah in the cistern. Let's get rid of this guy. Look, Jeremiah, you're a big poop. We got the temple over here. We got the priesthood over here. We got the scrolls over here. We're doing Shabbat. What do you mean? But this isn't going to be destroyed. God's not going to destroy his own house. Well, he did it twice. Not just once, he did it twice. Pretty soon we'll be commemorating Tish B'Av, the 8th day of the month of Av, when the temple, first temple was destroyed, the second temple was destroyed. The Jews were expelled from England. The Jews were expelled from Spain. The Warsaw Ghetto fell, and probably a handful of other things I can't think of, all happened on the same date. You will steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. Yeah, you'll do all this stuff, then you'll come to church on Sunday morning. Say, da, 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 here I am. Yep, here's my tithe. Yep. We're having communion today. Yep. Yep, 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 here I am. Yeah, Lord, you should be happy I'm here because, you know, hey, I didn't have to come. Thought you'd like it if I came. They come and stand before me. And the house called by my name. So they reject the law and the covenant. We reject the law and the covenant in our time. 2,000, 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian morality, that means nothing anymore. We're past that. They do these things, they have no guilt. They go to his house as if it doesn't matter. And they stand before his name. What does God say about his name? Jealous for my name. My name is holy. If you take my name in vain, you won't go unpunished. He doesn't say, oh, you were probably just having a bad day. I don't want to get into too much detail about the Babylonian exile, but, you know, for 490 years, they didn't keep the Sabbath rest for the land. Every seventh year, the land has to rest. Every seventh year, the land has to rest. 490 years, they hadn't kept it. So God says, your exile in Babylon is going to be 70 years, 1 year of exile for each of those cycles. And that was not keeping the land fallow. The punishment came. And the idolatry. What kind of punishment are we going to get? The law is going to be fulfilled anyway. In 2 Chronicles 36, it talks about, we're not going to go into detail. But it talks about that. It talks about how God says, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they're my servants. They're going to come here, they're going to trash this place, and they're going to take y'all to exile because you didn't let the land rest. And then everything is going to be destroyed. And they went through phases. You know, we're going to go through phases. We had 9/11. We had an economic collapse. We had COVID. We have whatever you call this that's going on now in phases. Jerusalem's kept, put a puppet king, took the treasure to Babylon. They took the men of valor and the princes and the craftsmen and the smiths to Babylon. And then eventually they took almost everybody to Babylon after they rebelled. We're not going to go through all this. But eventually the king was blinded, exiled. The temple was destroyed in 586. And the city was destroyed. Because she did not listen. Because she didn't turn back to me. Watch some YouTubes. I love YouTube since I retired. Love watching YouTube. Watch some YouTubes about what's happened in the Church of England. It'll bring you to tears. They sound like the crazy hippies we used to hang around with in college. They're supposed to be the church. Leading people down, leading people to backslide. Away from the word, leading people away from the truth, leading people away from Messiah. Oh, come on. Like last week we talked about, we come with a foolish message. Come on, makes no sense. Somebody was executed 2,000 years ago. What does that have to do with me? Come on. Let's get with it, man. She didn't listen. But it's up to us. You know, the teaching I did yesterday from Ezekiel, I love the line where it says, you know, Ezekiel, when you go there, they're going to give you looks. They're going to give you harsh words. It's going to be like living with briars and thorns and scorpions. But don't let that bother you. Because one thing they're going to know is that a prophet was there. You're going to make an impression because something different happened. So when you show up with a group of your friends and proclaim the message of salvation or talk about something from the scriptures, they may look at you like you're a kook, but after you leave, they're going to know something happened. So as we started out, we need the Ruach, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us. We can't do it on our own. But it's a critical, critical time. Read 2 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 for your homework too. Whew, and you'll see where we are today. In the second half of Romans chapter 1, you'll see where we are today, word by word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you that your Spirit breathed out your very word, and that the very word that was with you from the beginning came to us, the Logos, the eternal Logos, came to us as Yeshua of Nazareth and died for us, for our salvation, as the only remedy, the only solution for our sin problem. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower us that we can go into the world with this message, and that we can bring as many people out of this falling away, out of this apostasy that we've seen around us, and have them return, have them listen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he let his countenance fall on you. And may he give you his true shalom, his true overwhelming wholeness and sense of well-being and security that can only come from the Sar Shalom, who is the Prince of Peace. And we pray in his name. Amen.